For at least the foreseeable future, we'll all be meeting our colleagues only remotely. This is hard enough to do with the people we know. But how about managing people we've never met in our lives before?
Welcome to Small Talk with Raincraft. I'm Hasita.
And I'm Subha.
Today, we discuss what it is like to hire someone virtually and to do it so well that they feel welcome almost immediately. Well, today's episode is actually even more special because this is our first guest episode. Manoj Madhusudanan, head of Dunnhumby India, is here with us to discuss the ins, the outs, and the in-betweens of managing people in a virtual world, starting from day one.
When people feel comfortable with each other, including their seniors and even their leadership, they do great things together. And the reason why I thought of Manoj, a really good friend of mine from college days, from business school actually, why I thought Manoj is the best person to do this with us today is because he's a people person through and through. And that's not just it. The entire team has tried to build a culture of putting people first and believing that they are exceptional to begin with.
And I can totally see why that would be such a blessing in a virtual world, right? I mean, when we are not together, it becomes supremely important. I think it's the most important thing to do to believe in each other and to know that we all have each other's backs. New hires in particular, I think, they feel very lost. If, you know, in a company, there's no process, there's no onboarding, so to speak. And again, I'd like to point out that onboarding goes much beyond the perks and the good-to-haves.
So true. And I think one of the, you know, positives in this year has been that hiring has not come to an end. A lot of firms have been consistently and regularly adding people to their teams virtually. And on that note, we'll take this conversation to Manoj and hear more about what Dunnhumby is up to in the virtual hiring department. Hi, Manoj.
Hi. Hi, Subha and Hasita. How are you? Thanks for inviting me to this conversation.
Great. Glad to have you here. And I'm going to take the easy way out and ask you to introduce yourself.
So I am the head of India for Dunnhumby. Dunnhumby is a global leader in customer data science. We work primarily with global retail and consumer goods firms, helping them become customer first. That is, being able to be really customer centric. It's a 30-year-old company, globally about 2,500 people. We have about 700 people in India.
And like for any CEO, this must be a difficult year. So my first question to you, Manoj, is this. We are obviously connected from our business school days and follow each other on LinkedIn also. I see your feed flush with thank you notes and recognition for your teams and people. Now, that's very rare to see from a business leader. Most are focused on sharing their viewpoints and quite restrained when it comes to expressing gratitude. What prompted you to take this path on your social feed?
That's a very interesting observation, Subha. I really never thought about it that way. For us, people have always been at the center of what we do, right? I just talked about Dunnhumby being a customer data science company. Helping our retail firms and consumer goods firms to become customer-centric requires a whole lot of data science technology skills, right? And mm-hmm. and our teams bring in that kind of amazing data science and technology and engineering skills to table. So the whole Dunnhumby ecosystem is centered around people. So it's very natural that all of us as leaders at Dunnhumby have an immense sense of gratitude for the contribution that each team member makes. So we want to express it, right? So we want to celebrate those achievements. We want to create that positivity. So it's not very conscious. It just happens naturally because of the kind of people centricity that we have, the firm. And I firmly believe that if your people are happy, they will be productive. And if they're happy and productive, our customers will be happy. So at the core of it, it's all linked to how we want to lead the business.
That's very encouraging to hear. In my work with many businesses, a term like customer service really gets thrown around easily, and people within the organization struggle to understand what it means and how to translate it into their day-to-day actions.
When we say customer first, right, we are not talking about our customers, the clients. We are talking about their customers, the end shoppers. So if you're talking about the large retailers, right, the people like you and me who go to do shopping in these supermarkets, they are the real customers. How can we make their life better? Right. So when you are having a higher purpose, a higher goal, everything changes. So that customer centricity focus, right, then elevates the whole thinking. That's the way we look at customer centricity.
Super, super. I've also noticed that you're receiving rave reviews for how you are virtually onboarding this year. So has it always been a part of the hiring process in some way, or something that you have quickly adopted and adapted to in this year?
That's interesting. If you had asked me this question 1 year back, I would have probably answered it very differently. We are now going through a very different period. So it's a cliche, but necessity is the mother of invention. And we had to be inventive about how we onboard and grow our team virtually during this period. So we had over 100 people joining in the past several months virtually, including 3 senior leaders who joined my India leadership team. And they are not even in Gurgaon. Some of them are in places like Raipur, Pune, right? So all around the country. So what went into the mix? There are 3 things, I think, that helped us navigate this virtual onboarding journey well. One is teams coming together to make this happen, HR, IT, finance, administration, all the different teams. So we call out 4 values at Dunhambi: passion, collaboration, courage, and curiosity. So what we saw was a complete display from across all our teams to really passionately and collaboratively make this happen. So people really went out of their way to create a great experience for the new hires. The other thing, you know, we also put in a lot of tools and processes in place even before this, to your question. You know, we had started planning better onboarding journey even before the pandemic happened. So, for example, we implemented an onboarding tool called Onboarder, which the managers and the new hires can communicate using that app with each other much before they actually join the organization. So the whole idea was to have a deep engagement with the new hires and create excitement right from the day the offer was rolled out. So by the time the person actually joins the job, he or she's already familiar with people and the kind of work that we do here, right? That makes your day one a lot better. So that kind of tools and processes really helped. And third is, you know, as I mentioned earlier, this whole purpose, belief, really redefining what is our common belief and purpose for the company. That creates then a common framework that that new hires can hook on to. That really helps them find their coordinates when they join the company, right? So rather than it all being in 100 different places. So articulating that common, not just a vision statement, much beyond that, right? What is the real belief that we have as an organization? What's the purpose we have? All of this, we called it Define Dunhambi campaign earlier in the year. That helped really reinforce those fundamentals, even with the new hires, especially with new hires, I would say.
What I love and what I'm hearing is something that I've also thought about a lot. How can we make day one special for people, be it virtual or physical? It's something most managers and organizations don't really put too much thought into. It's nice to hear that you guys already had something in the works, thinking about how to get them energized and enthusiastic about joining a place that could very well be where their career blossoms, right?
Absolutely. I think it requires a lot of investment from both sides. Right, candidates who are waiting to join are eager to learn more, and they are looking for those opportunities to connect and understand more. And especially in this times of pandemic, right, a lot of people we have seen that they have the offer, but they start develop cold feet, saying, you know, do I really need to move out in these uncertain times, even if it's a good company, good offer, or do I just stick to safe havens that I already have? So these conversations early on really help in reaffirming their belief in the journey that they are already planned to take, right? So for example, I do this one-to-one meetings with many of our new hires much before they join. Just a meet and greet, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour. It gives them an opportunity to talk through the things that they are looking forward to. I can give a bit of a broad philosophy and framework, how the company operates, right? So all of this creates that feeling of already being inside much before you join the company, right? So we have all put in a lot of effort and investment into making this happen. I think that's what's paying.
Sure. You mentioned 3 senior leadership hires also during this period. Are you finding that you have to do something very different for senior hires versus young and entry-level virtual hires?
Not really. At the fundamental level, it has all been the same. But the only thing is people who are joined at more senior levels, they have seen more of the world. So it's much easier for them to adjust, get onto something like this quickly compared to somebody who is just graduating from a campus. The entire corporate experience is very new for them. On top of that, you're adding this whole virtual element. It becomes much harder, right? So people who have joined at senior levels, they're all managing teams of 50, 100 people, 200 people. So it is hard, right? Because they have not seen any of their team members. But 3 months, 6 months into the whole journey, when I interact with them, I don't see anything amiss. They are very well glued on to their teams. They have earned their respect within their respective teams, right? But our process has broadly been the same. Of course, how much a person really goes and gathers himself or herself also matters, right? So one is you have the processes. Second, you really start connecting with people and gather things. And more experienced people have the ability to do that in a better way, to connect within the Dunhambi network and really figure out the coordinates and get what they want.
Another thing I'm wondering, for organizations now with over 7 to 8 months of working remotely, is there any new aspect of organizational culture that is emerging? Something that didn't exist before. As a CEO and for your senior leadership, there would be an expected focus on retaining your culture. But is there also an emergence of something new because of the way you are working now?
So that's an interesting question. You know, a lot has changed since the pandemic has started. And in fact, we did a survey recently. And what came out was, one of the things that came out was that the connection with the organization hasn't come down. Neither has the connection with the immediate team. However, the connection with people outside of your immediate team has dropped. And that's not surprising, because you don't often have a lot of interaction in a virtual world. It becomes very transactional, right? You do your project, you do your engagements, you have those calls, and then you are back in your shell. Whereas in an office, you would have those water cooler moments, you would have your cafeteria chats, you know, all those informal networks that you build. One thing that we have started doing is create those moments deliberately. For example, I do these coffee chats with people. Group of people from across different teams come together. I hardly talk. I'm more like a facilitator. But people then talk about their work, their hobbies, their passion. They find common connections. So it becomes very interesting from that perspective. So we all have to start doing things a bit differently to counter the effect of this aloofness that comes with remote working and virtual working. And it's very hard to say what the long-term impact on the culture would be. But if we start taking conscious efforts to communicate, engage with people, I mean, we did something very recently. We sent actually a gift box to everyone across the country at a very affordable rate. We could do that, it was very simple stuff, right? So with some candles and some sweets and some Diwali lights and all that, right? So, and a personalized letter. And the effect was amazing. People from 1,500 miles away, people living in the hills now, back to their hometowns, they all got their packages. And immediately, and there were like at least a couple of scores of LinkedIn messages that I saw with people posting with their family and the photographs of the gifts. So all of that created a kind of a connection immediately. And a feeling of a greater bond with the firm. And the response really surprised me also, right? So we did know that people would be happy to get something like this. But the kind of energy that it created, frankly, surprised me as well, right? So we all need to do something extra. It's all hard times, so we need to balance it out. We all have to make some effort to maintain that connection and the culture.
I'll be honest, it was the flurry of social media activity around your Diwali hampers that actually got me thinking that I must talk to you. You are certainly doing something right.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
So Manoj, what would be your tips, some very tactical tips for teams and organizations, be it 20, 30 people or even 100 to 500? Because the challenge I'm hearing from leaders and team managers is that earlier they could ask a person from marketing to walk across to finance and solve the problem, figure it out, get it done. Today, folks in both teams may have been onboarded virtually. They have to get a sense of the hierarchy, and the team members and the manager have to put in a lot more effort to get things done.
I think the most important thing that leaders need to do is to set the right norms, because everyone then follows that lead. If we create as leaders a process, a system and a culture where people can freely interact with each other and have the right enablers for that, right? Then that kind of percolates to everyone. So if the leadership starts doing certain things, you know, that then creates the norm. For example, in Dunhumby, right, we use Microsoft Teams extensively, not just for one-to-one chats, but we also use all the different Teams groups and all the features that are available out there to really have different conversations going on. Now, one is you have the tool, but how you use it is, how does the leadership really proactively contribute to all of these kind of things? So people at more senior level start doing that, then everyone then starts interacting a lot more freely. And frankly, if everyone is quite reserved and no one is really connecting with each other, the leadership is not really making an attempt to do that, then that then becomes the overall norm for the organization also. And that, I think everyone needs to take that personal effort also, irrespective of what level you are in the organization. These are times when we really need to connect with each other. You know, one of the things that we have done is a campaign called 100 Voices. So I have, for example, reached out to 100 people across Dunhumby, not just in India, but other parts of Dunhumby also. Just informal conversations to see how they're doing, how has the pandemic affected them, what are the kind of issues and challenges they are facing at work. So just reaching out proactively, connecting with people, right, really, again, creates feeling of a shared concern, shared system, shared norm, everything, right? So I encourage people to do that, to proactively reach out to others, just have informal chats also, if not just for a specific task or a specific tactical reason.
That's very useful. We do have leaders telling their teams, you know, go out, talk to each other informally, etc. But a simple framework like 100 Voices gives them genuine direction.
Precisely. Absolutely. Yeah.
What is your thought process, Manoj, on a remote model? You have hired senior team members from across the country. You have onboarded a significant number of youngsters as a virtual workforce. Is this sustainable?
No, I think, you know, what we are doing is this pandemic has given us an opportunity to really look at how we operate. So what we have done is we are now looking very closely at the future ways of our working and how that reimagined workplace will look like. People, definitely 28% of the people have been commuting for more than 3 hours up and down together in a single day. But at the same time, right, people also are missing their office. They want to come back to office. So they want to have that balance of being in office and being at home. The other thing is, you know, we were all concerned how productivity will be in a remote environment. But with the right systems and processes, we have actually seen that the productivity has not diminished, rather it has improved in some of the parts. So overall, we don't want to really go back to how things were pre-COVID days. We want, once this whole risk of pandemic goes away or it's minimized, we also want to leverage this opportunity to really reimagine our workplace. It could be a combination of, you know, some of the days you're working from home, some of the days in office, and we schedule our teams. So there's a whole lot of different work streams. And it goes beyond that, right? Skills that you need in a virtual environment is very different from working in office. For example, people need to be able to communicate better. So an emphasis on communication skills is going to be a lot more, especially when people are working remotely. Similarly, your emotional intelligence, your time management, some of these things which were like more of it's good to have actually become critical. For example, people have all the time. A lot of people don't switch off, right? So they end up working more than what they will do in a typical office environment. So how do you find the right balance? How do you manage your time better? So all of these skills also is very important. The other thing is, you don't see your team directly, but how do you manage their performance? Can you have their performance and their key performance indicators much more objectively from an outcome-driven perspective, right? Rather than the effort, what's the outcome? And you measure the outcome and then measure the performance based on that. We all do that, but quite often that becomes very theoretical. Now that we are working in a virtual environment, move to a hybrid way of working in future, right? So we are actually seriously thinking about looking at how to reimagine that future workplace.
I'm really glad you brought up skill sets needed for working remotely. We need to recognize that it's different from the physical office interaction. Something as simple as joining a meeting on time becomes critical because you can't really stroll from one conference room to the other knowing that your colleagues know you're coming and will join in a few minutes.
Yeah, that's a good point, right? That's a good point, Subha. In fact, the other thing is, right, when you have back-to-back virtual meetings, there's an interesting observation here, right? So when you're actually in office and you're moving from a meeting room to a meeting room, you actually get a few minutes break between your meetings. But when you're in virtual meetings, let's say your meeting finishes at 11 o'clock, next one starts at 11 o'clock, you literally have a couple of seconds before you dial into the next one, right? Otherwise, others will be waiting for you. So this back-to-back is not really healthy also. Can we think of innovative ways? For example, can we by default change our meeting timings from, let's say, 10:30 to 10:55 and give a forced 5-minute break for people? A whole lot of things about how you work remotely will evolve as we think through this, considering the emotional mental health as an important element.
So true. What is really encouraging is that leaders like you are thinking about this and planning for it, and not just translating the physical to the virtual. Any last thoughts for us on what 2021 may look like? Of course, hopefully with a vaccine shot in our arm, but otherwise, what else?
There is a spiritual saying that I always like and quote. It's, this too shall pass, right? So we are going through a very difficult time, but it also provides a lot of opportunities for us to really reimagine ourselves, right? So what you thought were your kind of limitations will no longer be limitations. Maybe they become your strengths. As I'm doing for myself, right? It's all of us to really deeply, deeply introspect, reflect on what our strengths are, where do we really stand, and what kind of skills do we need in that as the world is evolving. I think this time should really be used for people to reflect and rebuild a lot of their skills, their mental makeup, and most importantly, I would urge everyone to really stay safe and stay healthy.
Awesome. It has been wonderful recording this episode with you.
Thank you, Subha. It has been a great pleasure talking with you as well. Wish you all the best for this podcast series. I would be very happy to connect again.
Thank you, Manoj.
So guys, that was Manoj Madhusudanan from Dunhambi. Thank you so much, Manoj, for taking the time out to do this with us. We are really, really excited for this episode to go live. And with that, we come to the end of a wonderful conversation with an amazing guest and the end of yet another episode of Small Talk with Raincraft.
So how are you doing your virtual onboarding? Has this podcast inspired you to plan for a virtual onboarding process or to better what you have now? We'd love to hear your success stories and your challenges.
Thank you so much for listening to us today. Was the episode useful? Did you take something away from it? Perhaps a new insight? Or do you think we could do better? Please send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/raincraft or email us at connect@raincraft.in and share your experience with us. Small Talk with Raincraft is now available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and everywhere else that you possibly get your podcast dose from. So please subscribe to receive notifications about the next episode. See you later, alligator. Wait, am I allowed to say that?